Hey, welcome back to another episode of Natalie's Take On. If you're new here, this is a podcast where I just discuss random topics that are pretty prevalent in our lives and discuss my opinions and my experiences on the topic. So, this is Natalie's Take On social media. So, the role of social media in our lives has changed so much over the years. It's big, okay? It's 2024. It's huge. Everyone knows what social media is, even little kids. Crazy, in my opinion. But yeah, so today we're gonna just dive right into that. So when I say social media, I'm basically talking about Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Musical.ly, Be Real, Snapchat, literally anything where you can post something online and it's kind of like a community for you and all of your friends. That's social media in my eyes. The role of social media kind of gets split up into a few things, okay? The first part is that it's a really great communication platform. I have so many international friends that I keep in touch with them only because of social media. And it's not to say, like, if social media wasn't a thing, I would, like, never see them again. But it's because of social media that I get to see what they're doing. And if I'm in the country again, then I know if they're there because I can just message them or I can just see on their story or whatever. And it's a great way to keep in touch. Most places now you can also use WhatsApp, but some people still don't have WhatsApp. So Instagram is really good for that, in my opinion. And there's also people who, like, kind of just live far. Like, maybe they live in the same country as you, but they live too far away, like a drive, a flight, whatever, depending on the country you live in. So that's also kind of nice to have social media because you kind of keep in touch with them. You see what they're up to. And I wrote this down too. I don't know why I did. I wrote too lazy to go to houses. I assume that I meant, like, if you're too lazy to go to someone's house, then social media is kind of nice because you can just, like, text or send pictures of each other, I guess, whatever. It's a nice little way to communicate. It's also an organized place to post our aesthetics, okay? The first thing that popped in my head when I thought about this specifically was Visco, actually. I used to love Visco, okay? I would post so much on there. I would edit my pictures like crazy, put that little pink effect on it. I was looking at my archives the other week and I was like, why did I edit my pictures like that? But that's what I liked at the time. And Visco boards are cool. Also, Instagram, it's a nice place to put your aesthetics, your nice pictures that you take. I know a lot of people really invest in their feed. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's like a very, it could be kind of a creative outlet, you could say. It's also a really nice place to share our art, paintings, sports, performances, literally anything that you create, you can post on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. Even now, like, people making, like, these cool influencer videos or, I don't know, cool painting videos, nail videos. It's kind of just a place where you can share your art. TikTok and Instagram Reels, very big on that right now. So that's really cool. I love to see those kind of videos. And it's cool. Honestly, it's a good way to advertise as well. And speaking of advertisements, it's also a place to do business. Now, this one is kind of complicated because when you talk about business and advertisements, all I can think about is that movie, The Social Dilemma, the docudrama. I watched the movie last year and I rewatched a little bit of it now. But what most stuck with me from this movie was this quote, like, if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product, which is super scary. The social media platforms are a really good place to do business and advertisements. And that's because you don't pay for all these social media apps. And so the advertisers pay for the apps. They're the ones who are keeping the apps alive because they're paying to put ads and they're paying for you to be seeing those ads, for them to use the social media platforms to use some kind of algorithm to show you what ads are, like, most fit for you. Another thing, this one's kind of dumb, but it's like you get to keep up with your favorite celebrities. I really like this. I don't know. There are a few, like, singers, rappers, dancers in Israel who are pretty like famous in the country, and I don't know, it's really fun to keep up with them, see what they're up to. And it's not like it used to be where I feel that social media was very controlled, where celebrities didn't really like post things as much as they do now. Like now it's very much Instagram, TikTok, people, celebrities are making like their own little videos and stuff, and you kind of get to see this other side of them, which is kind of nice in my opinion. And yeah, so those are all the kind of big things that I could think of when talking about social media, like what their roles are in our lives, for better or for worse. There was this point in my life, I think it was a couple of years ago, where I was super anti-social media. I think it was a bit after I watched like The Social Dilemma, and I was watching a bunch of TED Talks on why social media is bad for you. I don't really remember why I got into it. I think it was because when I was in America for a couple of months, I was just watching TikTok all the time. Like I didn't have anything else to do, so I just watched TikTok and I got super addicted. And I realized I was just spending like 3 to 4 hours a day on TikTok, or like at night, just scrolling, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? So obviously I just watched a bunch of TED Talks and documentaries about why social media is bad for you and why you should delete it, so that I could get myself to delete it. So I used to be very opinionated on the matter. I thought it was very, very bad for you, very addictive. And today I've kind of shifted my opinion on it, because I don't think I'm addicted anymore. I like it, but I also don't shit on myself anymore for wanting to wake up in the morning and like check my Instagram. Like it's chill. So I think it is, in general, like this is super objective, I think it's very addictive. Obviously that's the point of it. The whole For You page, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, Facebook now has them, I think, too. Don't even get me started on TikTok. I think these platforms are very addictive, and it's on purpose. And honestly, it's kind of sad that that's the whole point of the platforms, is like, it's like to get us to be addicted. Yeah, I don't know. It takes a lot of willpower to be able to say, okay, I don't want to watch anymore. Like, that's enough. I've been sitting on the bed like a potato for too long. I think it's also a really good platform to kind of get a short, clear message across. Now, there's a downside to that, that fake news is very easy because of these platforms and like radical opinions, because the For You page concept is so addictive, and you have 60 seconds and you have to hook people in. The most radical opinions are usually very clickbaity and very easy to hook onto and be intrigued and listen and stuff. So that aspect of those like shorts and reels is very, very dangerous. But it's also very, very good. I love those like TikTok videos where this guy like takes a homeless person and kind of shapes his life. Now, again, if that's fake, like that's super sad and that would suck. But it also kind of is just like, oh, maybe I should be nicer to like homeless people or people who are in need. So yeah, it has its ups and downs. To be honest, it's not really good in my opinion if you have an addictive behavior like I do. I get super addicted to things. I have these phases where I get like addicted to a certain type of food. I remember in middle school there was a time period where I was addicted to Lime Lays. Oh, they're so good. I would buy like those little packs for like $1.50 every single day. And then at one point I was also obsessed with ice cream sandwiches. And now, I guess, I would say chocolate. I love chocolate. So back to this time period where I was kind of anti-social media, I actually did a social media detox. I was so addicted. I felt that I needed to just delete everything and like just give myself like some brain space and some kind of like get disconnected from the world, if that makes sense, and just kind of live my everyday life. And I was also kind of like in this mindset where if someone wants to talk to me, they should just text me and like not swipe up on my story or look at my Instagram or whatever. Like I was kind of like, nah, 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 whatever. Honestly, don't know who hurt me, but so I deleted everything. I left YouTube, but I deleted Instagram. I think I kept Facebook for like apartment searching and job searching and more technical stuff. Also, I've never been addicted to Facebook. Like, no. I deleted Instagram. I deleted TikTok for sure. Snapchat, I have not been able to get into my account for like 4 years. So that was gone a while ago. I think I deleted Twitter as well. So basically what happened during that half a year? My screen time decreased so much because there was just no point in using my phone. Like, what would I use it for? To text people? Okay, cool. WhatsApp people? Call my parents? All right. Other than that, check the news maybe. But there was no point in using my screen. Like, I didn't have any social media to look at. I didn't have any notifications to be checking. It was kind of nice. It kind of freed some space. It's funny because when you delete those apps, you still, your brain and your body is so used to pressing on an app and scrolling, or like checking something. You're constantly like checking something. So I would check my email a lot more. I remember I would always check my email and I would always check Ynet News so that I could like scroll and like have some kind of notification thing, which is interesting because like, let's say in the plane, I don't have Wi-Fi and I don't have this need to be checking my phone, but I guess it's because I know that no one can be sending me messages. So my brain doesn't even go there. One of the downsides was that I felt a bit left out. I was working at a coffee shop at the time and everyone kind of already like always knew what was going on with each other because like they were seeing each other's stories and stuff and I like never did. And okay, there's this weird concept that I think about quite often that when you don't follow someone on social media, there's actually like this big kind of gap. There's this thing that like you don't know them at this time period in humanity. The first thing you do is check out someone's social media to see like what kind of person they are, what they've done, where they've been, blah blah blah. And when you don't have social media or you don't follow someone, you only have whatever it is that they kind of show you physically in a person. Like all you have of them is those physical interactions, which is something that's very beautiful in my opinion, because after I got my social media back and I started following everyone, I was like, whoa, this is like way different than what I was expecting. Like, I didn't know you were like this kind of thing. I don't know. Obviously, social media doesn't tell you everything about the person, but it tells you a good amount. So that was kind of weird. I definitely lost touch with some people. My circle got a lot smaller, which to be honest was kind of nice because you don't get stressed all the time by like wanting to see people. Like, no, it's cool. You see like different kinds of people once in a while and like people just kind of forget about you because you're not like popping up on social media all the time. So I love my friends, don't get me wrong. I love seeing people. It's super fun. But it also gives you a lot more kind of like mental space when you don't have as many people to fill up your time with, because you know, I would go to the coffee shop, I'd work, I'd come home and I'd just chill. Like, I'd read a book, I'd watch a movie, I'd get some errands done. Like, there's not much more than that. I would hang out with friends like from work after work, and that was about it. Like, that was my life was the coffee shop. And I think that's kind of more natural when you're in some kind of like work, school, like classes, career, whatever. Your life kind of revolves around whatever physical structure you're in, which makes sense in my opinion. That's how humans are supposed to work. Because think about like at one point when there were just like home phones, then your way of getting in touch with people was very limited. You can't just call someone up and they'll like answer always. They have to be home. When you like ask people to hang out, usually it's like you already see them. You finish school, you're like, yo, you wanna go do this later? Like, that's how you make plans. So it's not like today where you just text people that you haven't seen in like a week. Like, hey, let's meet up. And you remember that they exist because obviously they're your friends and you love them, but also because of social media. Because you're always seeing their pictures and seeing what they're up to and stuff. So you get reminded of them. That's something that I actually think about very often. So I know I said that I felt a little bit left out, but I also didn't get FOMO as much because I didn't know what was going on. Like, it's like, how would I know that that happened if I don't have social media? Someone would tell me about it like in retrospect, and that's fine. I was like, oh yeah, cool. Like, I didn't know about it. I hope you guys had fun. And I didn't see pictures, so I didn't even know what I was missing out on. And that is something that I really like about social media. If you don't have it, it's like what you don't know, like you don't know what you're missing out on, which is kind of nice because if you know about other events or hangouts, whatever, and you see that on Instagram, on social media, whatever, then it's much easier to get FOMO. It's much easier, that kind of saying, like, the neighbor's grass is always greener. You're always seeing the neighbor's grass. So it sucks. It makes you think that your life is just not as fun. Like, you have to have extremely good willpower and strength to know that your life is just as good. And you have to also know that social media is just pictures and screens and whatever. And, like, it doesn't actually reflect on what reality is. So you have to, like, always remind yourself of that, which is kind of hard. But I guess it builds strength, so that's nice. But if you don't have social media, you never see it. So you're literally just living your own life. And maybe you'll hear, like, stories from some people. But you don't have that constant, like, oh, I'm doing this, oh, I'm doing that. Like, she's traveling in South America, and he's studying and getting his MBA, and she's constantly, like, going to bars and parties and just enjoying life. And what am I doing? Nothing. I'm sitting here recording my podcast. Like, no, I am going to enjoy my life. I'm focusing on my life and being present. That's it. So yeah, it definitely makes you kind of think, like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to be thinking. Like, when you do a social media detox, you're like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to be living. This is how my perspective on life is supposed to be, with or without social media. So even now that I'm seeing, like, everyone's stories and, like, what they're doing, it doesn't give me FOMO. It's more of like, oh, maybe I should take that as inspiration. Like, that's cool. I want to do that next week. Like, not really take it as a reflection of my own life and my opinions about my life, but more like as inspiration and like, okay. Or like just getting excited for them. My social life is very important to me. I love my friends. I love hanging out with people. I love talking to them. I love doing fun stuff with people. I love people. So when I did this social media detox, I was living with my grandma. Now, my grandma is not the most talkative social woman on the planet. She's pretty tired. She watches TV all day. She sits in the living room. And I liked the people at my work, but, you know, most of the day when you're waitressing, you're talking to the people that you're waiting on. So, and I was waiting in an area. I was waitressing in North Tel Aviv, and them as customers, when they would come to the coffee shop, now it's like a coffee shop restaurant, okay? So in the morning, you have your people who come for their coffee. There's the locals that come back every day, and you already know what to order them, and they always leave a 15% tip. Love them. Love them to death. They don't make any problems. But then you have your people who come and just want their food fast, or like, this isn't hot enough, this isn't yummy. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, that gave me a huge headache. With the social media detox, that part wasn't really fun. I kind of hated it. If you're not in like a super intense social structure, like school or fun job or whatever, then not having social media is kind of ass, because you go home and it's like, who am I going to hang out with? So it's just more peaceful, I think, overall. It's not very crazy. I want to talk about my lessons learned from this social media detox. For number one, I really tried to change my perspective to use social media kind of as a tool. I brought back my social media because I wanted to take pictures and videos of my trip in Africa, and I wanted my friends to kind of see what I'm doing and what I'm up to. And also, a lot of my friends did tell me, like, hey, listen, I think you should get your Instagram back, because we want to see what you're up to, you know? And it's so hard, like, sending pictures to everyone. What the fuck? And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to bring it back. Whatever. So I brought it back, and I tried to really use it for positive and productive reasons only. Like, don't scroll too much, and kind of just post pictures when you want to, like, share. And then eventually I just realized, like, you need to cut yourself some slack when it comes to this, okay? The algorithm is working against you. They want you to keep scrolling. They're feeding you videos that they know you're going to like. Just cut yourself some slack. Put a timer on if you need to. Watch a few minutes of reels. All good. I usually do when I'm in the bathroom. So when I'm, like, sitting enough and I'm like, okay, I think it's time to get up now, after, like, a few minutes, I'll be like, okay, That's it. That's like the only time I actually kind of let myself watch reels. If not, like watch a YouTube video or watch something a bit longer. Like talking about longer videos, I do this kind of thing. It's funny. I try to get addicted to longer form videos like YouTube or Netflix. And I think my attention span has gotten longer, bigger. I don't know how you say that. It's not scientifically proven. I didn't do any research on this whatsoever. But I just think that if you train your brain to like want to watch those long form videos, it's kind of hard to finish them. So after like 10 minutes, your brain is like, usually, okay, I can finish now. I can be done. Like get half an hour. Okay, fine. I'm like done. But you're not going to watch. I mean, maybe you can. My dad watches like 5 hours of YouTube a day. So I don't know. But for me personally, after like half an hour, my brain is like, okay, I'm ready to do something productive. I can't, I don't know, be like just turn into mush. I can't do that. I want to do something with my life. So slowly but surely, you kind of wean yourself off of like being okay with just being on the couch for so many hours. Like physically, your body just kind of is like, okay, I want to work my brain. I want to like actually think and create or whatever. Hot take. IG Reels, Instagram Reels, is not as addictive as TikTok. And it's way better. Like, the content is way better. Those who watch Instagram Reels know what I'm talking about. I have TikTok, but I don't use it. I don't really go on the app at all. Because a few weeks ago, I did try watching some TikToks. And as I'm, like, watching the videos and reading the comments, I literally felt like I was becoming stupider by the minute. Stupider. Okay, good job, Natalie. More stupid. I felt like I was becoming more stupid every video I was watching. And it was on my sister's phone. And I was like, Shelly, what are you watching? Like, how are you still studying for a math degree when you're watching these TikTok videos? It just... And yeah, it's kind of relaxing because you don't have to think too much. But there's a big difference between not having to think when you're watching something and just like having your brain turn to literal mush. Also, they just like feed so much misinformation. And like I said earlier, radical opinions, like people are crazy. And so, yeah, so I don't watch TikToks. I love Instagram Reels. It's like kind of Vine vibe. So I love watching those things. So overall, I think social media obviously has its pros and cons. I think the new generation after Gen Z might get really messed up because of all the social media stuff and kind of the world not knowing how to deal with it, and kind of like the people who are behind all the social media platforms just want you to get more addicted, which is very unethical in my opinion and kind of sucks. But what can you do? If you want, do a little social media detox. I promise it'll only do you good and give you a lot of creative energy room. Yeah, I think that's it for today. I do like social media. I don't think I'm going to delete it again. It's kind of nice, especially with this podcast. I get to market it or whatnot. Yeah, I love creating content. So where am I going to post this content if not for social media? Anyways, thank you for listening. And I'll see you at the next episode.